Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
Welcome to round 19. You're listening to NRL Market Watch. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. Remember, if you are listening, you can make sure you subscribe to the NRL Market Watch podcast. You can do it on Apple, Spotify, Wooshka, wherever it is that you have your podcast library. The usual suspects are in attendance. Tristan Merlihan from Top Sport and Jared Condon, Mr. G from Reading the Play. How are we, gentlemen?
I'm very good, Jimmy. I'm just very happy to hear that you're well and back on the airwaves. You went very stony silent from about 4 p.m. on Sunday when we were waiting to lock in a lunch bet. So I'm just glad to hear that you're back and you're in full voice again. I thought you might have had a virus or something like down there in Sydney. So good to have you back.
We had all the telcos out there looking for you. I mean, the rabbits delayed the line. We just couldn't locate you anywhere.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny how I just knew that Lachlan Lewis had something special in him, right? You just got that sense about him, right? So as a result of that, I'm very happy that I stayed away from that one. Mind you, if you haven't expanded what the Alex Johnson pool looks like at your place, Jared, then I think you're doing him a disservice.
Yes, he has a very fond memories around this household at the moment. I nearly had to take a couple of weeks off with the poor bloke out with a hamstring strain. But yes, Alex Johnson was a very nice result for us again last Sunday. And I have to say, Jimmy, I have to take my hat off to you. I mean, I think the Bulldogs have covered four of their last five lines, and you picked the one week where they got flogged to have a lunch bet.
I've got that rare ability, Jared. Don't underestimate that. So, you know, just be careful of that, punters. 20 weeks of podcasts, 19 weeks of winning collects too. So well done on Katoni Staggs. What about how Katoni Staggs got his try? He should never have ever have got it. But anyway, that doesn't matter. We take that one. And yeah, Katoni Staggs all up into Alex Johnson. He was just going to score at any time, wasn't he? And that's exactly what he did at $1.30. So we're happy with that all up. But there's something here about the lunch bet score update. Tristan, 6. Jared, 2. And are you able to have less than 2 lunches? I suppose you can. But anyway, means I'm going hungry for a couple of days, I suppose.
Well, a really good thing it was actually -3, but we did the right thing and left you out from the weekend.
Hang on a minute. I recognised that I was going to get back to you. I was very busy Sunday. Very busy.
Yes. Turned your phone off for a couple of days.
The different start time threw me off. Big time. Different start time. Hey, guys, just before we get into a game-by-game analysis, it's really interesting, and we'll look at this across all of them, but plenty of players coming back from injury, sorting themselves out. We're still getting, you know, the fallout from the Paul Vaughan barbecue. We're still getting the fallout from Origin with the Melbourne Storm resting some players. But it's a really important time of the year, an interesting part of the year, that the run home after the State of Origin series. It's something I reckon all NRL fans get most excited about.
Oh, absolutely. It's some, you know, some crucial games coming up. There's a lot of teams, you know, like obviously we all acknowledge and know there's a big disparity between the top six at the moment and the teams that are fighting for that last spot and the last couple of spots in the playoffs. But it's still, you know, all these sides will still be desperate to make the finals. You know, it's still at the end of the season, you look back, we made the finals as successful or not. So there's still a lot to play for a lot of those sides. We've seen a couple of these teams bounce up into contention now. Like you only have to see the team like the Tigers get a win on the weekend and now they're one win out of the top eight. So yeah, it adds a bit of excitement there. There's a logjam up the top as well. Like I think it's going to be important for those teams to sort of position themselves up the top of the ladder. You've got your Storm, Panthers and Rabbits all now within 2 points of the minor premiership. So there's plenty to play for. We're back to normal proceedings in terms of team lists being announced on the Tuesday. We're confident on who's going to play. So from everyone's point of view, I think that's a positive sign. And yeah, really looking forward to the run home. And then hopefully we get a final series, which is one to remember.
I'll touch on a couple of different teams as we go through the games. I've done a little bit of work on what their run home looks like and draw and match up some maybe finals positions. But I will say this, if we go back 2 years ago, 2019, right now, 2 years ago, we had eight teams within one game of each other at the top of the table. Yeah. That's how competitive the competition was. It's certainly not now. We have a very, very long tail. I think the Storm are going to be incredibly hard to beat to take a back-to-back title. But unfortunately, it just really drops away from a couple of those teams at the top. And, yeah, maybe we might see over the next couple of weeks, you know, the West Tigers in particular have a very soft draw. They might bounce up. But outside of that, it looks very straightforward.
To give you credit on that, Jared, you were saying that, highlighting the long tail of the NRL competition well before kickoff this year. So I think that's playing out how you anticipated. I will ask you, both gentlemen, this one. Graham Annesley came out and said, we're going to encourage referees to sin bin players after there was a sequence of three tackles in a row that was set restart in that Cowboys v Roosters game. My comment this week on that was like, that's like saying that the ashtray on the motorbike is not functioning properly, so we try and fix the ashtray. And that's my concern around that one. And the impact that it's going to have, Tristan, on the way these games are officiated in the run home to the semi-finals. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's making rules on the run. I think it's like we're trying to band-aid over solutions, and I just don't understand why we sort of can't put the thinking caps on. I think we're in a position now where you make changes this close to finals, you never really know how they're going to work until 2 or 3 weeks down the line, and you're in a very dangerous position then if you make changes this close to the finals. Like I think we've got to just try to commit to something over the next period and not keep making these reactional changes. And then there's got to be some real hard thought into what we do for next season, because I think there's a lot of items here that need to be consulted better, and there needs to be a more collective sort of discussion, because we had a really great product towards the end of last year. And just to see the way the league's changed and just the inconsistency. I think the inconsistency is the most frustrating thing. Like, we had a period there over the Magic Round where there were sin bins everywhere, and then we get a situation there where it's almost now referees are gun-shy to send someone to the sin bin, where we had that situation where Kalen Ponga got hit, and I'm not saying it should have been a sin bin or not, but you go back to Magic Round and he was gone, and now there wasn't even a penalty. Like, it just seems as though, like, it's done a complete about-face trying to, again, save a little bit of face there. So yeah, I don't know what the perfect solution is, but I just don't understand why we needed to tweak something from last year.
I think there's a range of different points here. One is I keep hearing in the background at the moment from a couple of people who I think have their ear to the ground that by the end of the season, in the off season, there will be a rollback of some of these rules and changes. And there'll be finger pointing in different directions so that it doesn't look like a complete back down, but there will be some change. Hooray. Thank God that may well happen. I think that press conference on Monday had the smell of a crackdown this weekend. I hope it doesn't occur, because the last thing we need is band-aids put on this with all of a sudden sin bins. I mean, we actually had a rule in play, which was called the offside penalty, which was all that was required. So why would you now penalise a team for 10 minutes with a guy on the sideline because you're not able to use the offside penalty? It's absolutely bizarre. Secondly, going back to Graham Annesley's point, what he failed to mention was there's actually no more six against through recent weeks than there was 4 or 5 weeks ago. And if people took the time, I highly recommend a guy on Twitter called the Rugby League Eye Test, who does some an amazing analysis of stats and different things occurring in the game. And he wrote a very long piece that was published yesterday that highlights this. What occurred last weekend, though, and over the last 2 weeks, is two things. One is the smart coaches are awake up to how to use the six again. And so in Origin 3, Paul Green and the Roosters in particular last weekend, but there's a couple of other coaches that have been doing this, when defending the team coming off their own try line, they're deliberately standing offside. right? And so the referee goes six again. Then he goes six again. Then he goes six again. What occurred last weekend, and it occurred in Origin, was within 30 to 90 seconds, there were three consecutive six agains for offside infringements. So the commentators then all of a sudden see it, they highlight it, they talk about it, and it's become a media issue. Listen, this has been occurring for weeks and weeks and weeks. But the other thing that was highlighted in that piece published online yesterday was that there's this real inconsistency of six agains in the game. So what we're seeing in the first 20 to 30 minutes of games is an over officiating of six agains, which in the last 15 to 20 minutes of a game completely fades out to not occurring. I mean, you can't tell me that that's consistently happening or inconsistently happening through the game. The game has embarrassed itself with what it's done. Hopefully, there is not a crackdown this weekend, and hopefully by the end of the season, we get some common sense in play.
I would say that a 10-metre penalty would have been awarded more often early in a game anyway, back from yesteryear, so which is like 2019. So from that point of view, you know, I don't think there's that change because there's that human element associated with it. But, yeah, totally agree about the impact that it's had, how long it's been going on. It would also seem that the enforcement that started with Magic Round has dissipated, and they've done that gently, and so no one seems to be aware of that. But high tackles are being maybe put on report, sometimes not even that, whereas, you know, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago when Magic Round occurred, they were sent to the sin bin, sometimes sent from the field with huge impact. The worst was when they would go back three tackles in play. Yeah. And penalise a team that had the ball and say, no, but there was a high tackle that you did three tackles ago. So that's got out of the game. That's a positive. And if there is the winding back that you're hearing, Jared, at the end of the season, then hallelujah.
What's even more farcical, though, on that point, though, Jimmy, is what we wanted, and we talked about it when all of this blew up in the week prior to Magic Round, and we had been touched on in weeks prior, was the match review committee on a Monday to actually look at the games and do something about stamping out any of that foul play or head contact or alike that shouldn't have occurred over the weekend. We actually had an instance last weekend where there was a guy hit with a high tackle. If that was 5-6 weeks ago, he would have got 10 minutes in the bin, right? He actually should have been penalised and reported last weekend and dealt with by the match review committee on Monday. It's completely floated through.
Yeah.
The inconsistency is just farcical.
All right, lads, we better jump into it. We've got a full round. We can't wait. Of course, the last 8 rounds of the competition, we are sliding into the semi-finals. First up on Thursday, up at Cbus Super Stadium. Get used to saying that. Cbus will be very happy with their sponsorship. The Eels up against the Raiders in this match. There's some real interest around who's playing in this one. Who's not there is Mitch Moses. That was incredible, the yarn that came out and the fact that it sort of explains the interest in Anthony Milford and then the interest that went away with the identification that it won't be long before Mitch Moses will be back. Jacob Arthur goes into that halfback position. Junior Paulo is back. Murata Neokora back to the bench. Bryce Cartwright drops out of the 17. Tom Opacek is out. And Will Pelissini, this is a young kid with a huge reputation. He comes in. And Fergie Ferg is back on the wing. His first game since round 12. Hayes Dunster out of the side for the Raiders. Xavier Savage, that was a shock. What an athlete he looks to be. He's out for the season with a shoulder injury. Jack Whiten has ribs. He hasn't been named. Jordan Rapana to the back. Harley Smith-Shields onto the wing. Matt Frawley in at 5'8". Ryan James moves off the bench. And Matt Tomoko comes into the 17. How do you see this one, Tristan?
This one's seen a heavy push in the Eels' direction despite no Mitch Moses. It's $1.21 Parramatta, $4.60 Canberra. The line's 14.5. It's moved from 11.5, 185 the minus, 195 the plus. Total points 49.5. A little bit of specking for the unders at that line. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. As we say, no Mitch Moses, but the Eels were impressive last week. I thought the Titans were a live chance in that game at Cbus, and Parramatta just dominated that from the get-go. You obviously get Paolo back, which is going to be a big improvement to the side. So the 14.5 seems a wide line on face value, but the way they've been putting teams away, you wouldn't surprise if they put a number up.
if I'd got the line at 11.5, I would have been happy here. I'm not sure that I want to play at 14.5 with Moses not playing. But, you know, the Raiders, full credit to them. They've actually won their last two, which have been away victories. You know, away performance was very poor for them for most of the season. They are also in a deep hole many weeks ago. I found them much harder to catch than a spilt bucket of frogs. I mean, you know, I didn't see them going well at Brookvale. I didn't see them aiming up last week. The Eels, you know, I thought they were a risk last week with those outs, and they just came out and absolutely thumped the Titans. I like the way that they played direct and through the middle. I think they're such a better team when Mahoney is back. He gives them direction and can really find opportunity. I think that they're too strong here. They just keep winning, the Eels, at the moment. They're 1-9 of their last 12. I think they've got a couple of tricky weeks and a tough run home, but that could well actually tighten them up and strengthen them for a finals campaign. I certainly think the Eels are winning, and the Raiders are disadvantaged with those key outs. I think White and Savage are certainly significant for them, so certainly with the Eels.
One feature of the last time Sam Williams and Matt Frawley played was that Manly game, which started this little mini streak that the Raiders are on. Their kicking game was really, really good. And they played very direct that night. I just don't know where they're... You know, you can play direct against Manly, who had an off night, but playing direct against the Parramatta Eels, they've got a much more physical team that will be able to handle that, albeit without Mitchell Moses. So... I don't know where the Canberra Raiders get their points in that game. So I'd think under the 49.5 and the minus the 14.5 stands out a bit for me. Next game is on Friday. It's at Sunshine Coast Stadium. It's the Roosters up against the Knights, and there's lots of movement here with players coming and going. Tedesco back in for the Roosters from that rest. Joey Manu returns to the centres. Billy Smith maintains his position in that left centre position. Josh Morris is being listed amongst the reserves. So there's a changing of the guards in that one. Angus Crichton into the start side. Nat Butcher from the bench. And Siasiwa Taukeiaho, who is a significant return for them. He's back from that hamstring injury. For the Knights, Daniel Saifidi is back, but there's no Mitchell Pearce. Kalen Ponga and Dave Clemmer have HIAs that they have to pass after that game against the Storm. Clemmer's actually gone out to the bench, and Lachlan Fitzgibbon has gone to the reserves list, and Connor Watson is starting the side at lock. Pretty short price here for the tricolours, Tristan.
Yeah, tricolours are $1.27. The Knights are $3.90. The line's gone from 9.5 out to 11.5 on the back of Mitch Pearce not getting named last night, and obviously a couple of key inclusions for the for the Roosters. So the total points there, 49.5, have been rock solid. Roosters have got some key ins. No, Mitch Pearce is going to be very hurtful for the Knights. And I think the big question mark over this game, and everyone's got to keep an eye on this, is if Kalen Ponga is allowed to play with the HIA protocol. He obviously missed the second half there against the Storm, so I'd say there's got to be some sort of doubt. So that line is going to move significantly on the back of whether he's in or out. And I think all punters have got to keep an eye on that, because if Kalen doesn't play, I fear that this could be a blowout similar to what we saw on Saturday night when the Storm picked the Knights apart without those two players. But if he plays, then it does bring them into the game somewhat. But yeah, with Teddy back and Taukeiaho, it's a much stronger side. I think the Roosters are going to be probably too strong here.
You touched on this last week, Jimmy. For the life of us, how the hell did O'Brien want to play Ponga off a short backup from Origin into a game where they're already missing two or three key outs that were quite well known, and a game that was, you know, for the life of them, were never going to upset the Melbourne Storm? They then go on to a 48-4 loss. Ponga then picks up a HIA and is now a risk this week, and, you know, possibly with HIA, any head knock, you know, a potential risk in the weeks ahead. It just did not seem a smart move. Their defence just was again exposed against these sharper, stronger teams at the top of the table. A really poor result. I will say, in their defence, they do have a very good record at the line when they come off a flogging of backing up the following week. You know, the last 9 times that they've been touched up, the following week, 8 out of those 9 have actually covered the line. Their record against the Roosters is really poor. Lost 13 of the last 15. The last 3 have been 30-plus losses. I think the Roosters, as we touched on last week, they've dropped back a level to the bottom of the table over recent weeks, touched up the Bulldogs, touched up North Queensland. I certainly think with Pierce missing and a couple of question marks around that Knights team that they win here, I think they probably covered a line. I'm happy to let the game go. I think the opening couple of games, if you can find a way through the first two favourites, I think that's the right way to play.
48-4 in the Storm over the Knights last week, and 2 weeks earlier, it was the Storm 46-0 over the Roosters. So the form line going into this one is pretty interesting. Give me an estimate, Tristan, the market, how the line moves if Kalyn Ponga is declared unavailable.
If Kalyn Ponga is declared unavailable, I probably feel it gets to maybe 14, 15 and a half would be my sort of estimate. I think if he plays, it maybe drops back to that 9.5. I think it's a genuine 50-50 at the moment. So it's sort of priced halfway in between. So we'll see if that eventuates.
Second game on Friday is the Cowboys versus the aforementioned Melbourne Storm. So we're looking at the Cows. This game, of course, up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Javid Bowen is out for the year with an ACL. Murray Taulagi comes in. And Kane Bradley makes his debut, former West Tigers player. Hylam Luki comes off his little rest for a suspension. For the Storm, there's some interesting one. Ryan Pappenhausen named on the bench. So that's coming back from that concussion in Magic Round. Josh Adokar, Christian Welsh are back. Nelson Asper, Solomon Amona returns from suspension. Dale Finucane is out, hasn't been named. He's getting a rest. Cam Munster getting a rest. And Felice Kafusi all getting a rest as well. So there's some significant changes to this one. But what we have seen throughout the course of this year, Tristan, is that if anyone can cover it, the Storm can.
Oh, they're just an amazing outfit. Like, to be covering these spreads with absolute ease the way they have been, with a lot of players in and out. Like, you know, Ryan Pappenhausen been one of the most impressive players at the start of the year, and he's missed most of these games recently. And they've just been dominant in virtually every game they play. They just don't take a backward step. And you see something similar again here. The Cowboys' defence when they're under pressure is just very ordinary at the moment. And the head-to-head betting's at $1.06 Melbourne, $10 the Cowboys. The line opened at 25.5. It's out to 26.5, even with a number of these Storm players missing. And the total points, 52 flat, over 185, under 195. Yeah, it's a scary proposition for the Cowboys. Obviously, back at home is some benefit, but you just can't see them competing with the Storm unless everything went their way.
My expectation is that Jerome Hughes will also be rested. So I'd expect that Hughes will be rested. Nico Hines will go to 7. Pappenhausen will start at 1. That's what I'm working around at the moment. And I think what Bellamy's doing is they'll win here and name whatever margin you wish, and I'll touch on that in a moment. But in the weeks to come, they then have Penrith next week, then the Eagles the week after. And I think off the back of Origin, Bellamy's choosing to give a few guys a key rest, bring Pappenhausen back here, give him a good 60 to 70 minutes against a weak opponent, get some match fitness into them, and then go back into fifth gear and full tilt next week against the Panthers. The Storm's record, we just keep touching on it. They've now topped 40-point margins in 12 games so far this season, which is a new record for NRL. Won their last 14 straight, 13 of those by 16-plus. Now, they're winning 13 of their last 14 by 16-plus, and they're playing the weakest defensive opposition in the competition at the present moment, and the line's only 26.5. I mean, I think it's missing a 3 or a 4 in front of the 6. The Cowboys' defence is just atrocious. You watched that game again last week, and I've touched on it for weeks. Their right edge, you could drive a semi-trailer down there and hit nobody. Their left edge is not much better. And then back through the middle, once they're under a bit of pressure, they just completely compound. They're lucky they're at home. Maybe that helps them a little bit and takes 10 points off the result. But I just think how far the Storm, best of the week, minus 26.5, probably only covers the first half.
Can you explain there was a number of players, but the real shock and devastation around the loss to the Roosters last week in that Cowboys dressing shed. Tommy Gilbert was visibly upset with that. Do we have any explanation around that? I know you've got some good contacts up there, Jared.
No, I think it's just a compounding of disappointment over many weeks. Yeah. You know, they've just been, you know, they've lost their last five straight. They're leaking points at will. And I can't see any improvement structurally or technically in what they're doing in defence.
Mm. Who has the remit up there? Is it Dean Young, Steve Georgalis on defence?
I think Young.
Yeah, I think Georgalis is the attack coach. So, yeah, that's interesting.
They need Bellamy to hang around for a couple of weeks after this game. And
Greg yet to announce what he's doing next year. All these players are re-signing with the Melbourne Storm, but we're yet to determine what Greg is doing.
He's not going anywhere.
Of course not. I've got the sense it might be a multi-year deal associated with that one, which will probably shock most people. All right, let's get to Saturday. A 3 o'clock game is at Sunshine Coast Stadium. It is the Rabbitohs up against the Warriors. Alex Johnson. Oh, tears of a nation. Well, certainly of the household of the Condons out for Alex Johnson. He's a couple of weeks, they reckon. Jackson Paulo. So a good replacement comes in. Josh Mansell's earned a recall. I thought Tane Milne was quite good in that game last week. Braden Burns drops out. Latrell Mitchell, he is back at fullback. Joy Arrow onto the bench after that COVID protocols breach. Liam Knight, he's had significant HIA issues over the course of the last couple of years. He's out. Jacob Host has been named. Benji Marshall, still not available because of those COVID protocols. The Warriors, well, they're losing players left, right and centre. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck not named because of the failing of the HIA against the Panthers. Cody Nikorima is back. Adam Pompey comes into the centres. So Rocco Berry, he's been impressive. I like the way that he's gone about his young career thus far. He's out with a hamstring injury. We've got Tohu Harris has got the ACL. Wade Egan with the shoulder. So they're gone for the season. Jazz Tabunga at hooker. Jack Murchie into the second row. Josh Curran playing lock. So we've got Bunty Afoa and Taniela Otokolo, the new faces onto the bench. This is a patched up Warriors side, Tristan.
Yeah, it is. And geez, I thought that gutsy on the weekend against the Panthers, like losing those three players in the first, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I know Penrith were comprehensive victors at 14 points, but it's unfortunately sad to say that a 14-point scoreline is a pretty tight game at the moment in the current NRL sort of structure. And that game could have blew out in the last sort of 15, 20. So they showed a lot of fortitude to hang with them. Unfortunately, they're missing these players again this weekend, which is going to make it very tough against a Rabbit side that will probably want to, I suppose, put on some points after not covering the line on the weekend, which was disappointing on a number of fronts. Souths are $1.16, the Warriors $5.50, and the line 17.5. It's moved from 15.5 already out to 17.5. More money for the Bunnies at the 17.5. $1.85 the minus, $1.95 the plus. 51.5 points. The total's moved already from 50.5 out to 51.5. So plenty of points expected, and most of them expected by the Rabbitohs, the way the early betting's shaping up.
Those outs, as you touch on for the Warriors, are just key. And I will say, I agree with you, Jimmy. Rocco Berry looks a real talent. And I think the hardest position to recruit for in the game is a right edge centre, because everybody naturally passes to their left. So getting a right edge centre that actually can get less ball yet do something and make something happen like he can, I hope he's under lock and key for the long term for the Warriors, because there would be recruitment guys all over the competition asking that question over recent weeks. The one thing I will say about the Warriors is it's one thing to be losing and they've lost eight of their last nine. What I at least liked last week, before those injuries beset them in that game, was Nathan Brown tried to change things up. You know, he put Tuivasa-Sheck to 5'8". He changed what he did in the middle, but he also changed their style of play. They went for early offloads in their sets, and they were trying to play outside and back in. They got in front of the Panthers, and had they not all of a sudden get three or four key injuries in that first half, which left them so weak in the second half, I thought they were really going to stretch the Panthers. The problem is they then come into this week with those guys missing. That really puts them behind the eight ball. The Rabbits are no good thing. And again, as I've said over recent weeks, they just don't put teams away. And yes, they rested a couple of guys last week, but they're in a lot of trouble there against the Bulldogs mid-second half. And there was an upset pending there. And then they Got a couple of little things go their way. The Bulldogs made a key error, which was game turning right at the end. The last 13 times that they've been double-digit favourites, as they are here, minus 17.5, they've only covered the line three of those 13. They just don't put teams away. I expect they win. Because of the injuries, the line's probably about right. I'm shorter than the line. I don't want to play. And right now, I need the Rabbits to have motivation to want to put a team away. I don't see it here. I think they win, but I don't see them as 18 or 20-point winners.
I think we were robbed last year of something special with Latrell Mitchell going into the semi-final series with that hamstring injury. He was just going to do something special. I get the sense that, you know, that was part of the reason they rested him out of State of Origin this time around, just to get ready for that. So I'm looking for him to explode. They're not reliable, South Sydney, but you know that their best scares everyone. So that makes them a really, really good side to watch. The thing that happened with the Bulldogs is that everybody got kung fu fighting, and they gave up 8 points after they led at half time with Lachlan Lewis.
Not only would I have taken him into the dressing room, I would have taken him out the back of the dressing room and had a few things to say at halftime after that. I mean, that was just absolutely cost his team that game. You're right about the Rabbits, Jimmy, because there's two coaches in this competition. Well, there's three coaches, and we know who the three are, who are absolute masters at post-origin of getting their team ready and then rolling into a finals campaign. And Bennett is certainly one of them. He did it with the Rabbits the last two seasons. And you're right about Latrell. I just hope he stays fit and they build this momentum, because if they do, and Latrell is where we think he will be, playing off that number six, they're just going to be fantastic to watch.
Doubleheader on Saturday at Suncorp Stadium starts with the 5:30 game. Seagulls up against the West Tigers. That's the cavalry call for Tommy T, DCE, and Jake T. They've all returned to the lineup. Reuben Garrick goes to the wing. Moses Suli, he's unlucky. He goes to the extended bench. I thought he played well. I'll tell you who did play well, Josh Schuster. Back into the second row, not at 5'8". Carl Lawton is out with that back injury. Sean Kepi goes to the interchange. Josh Alawai, he's been named. Taniela Paseka and Tofafoa Sipley are there as well. Kurt Zalui and Cade Kustrop out. That's just about as strong as it gets for Manly. Michael Maguire, 1-17, can you believe it, on the back of the big win against the Brisbane Broncos. Junior Pauga gets to retain his position. He scored a try. That's a good yarn too, 25 years of age when he made his debut. So well done to him on that one. But this looks to me like a bridge too far for the Tigers, Tristan.
Yeah, it does. And like the Steagles have got all their cavalry back, as you touched on. The Tigers have been better the last couple of weeks, but it's one of those old stories where if Manly put up and put a bit of a run going, are these sides outside of the eight going to be able to compete with them? Time will tell. $1.13 Manly, $6.25 the Tigers. The line's already gone from 16.5 out to 18.5. It's just a common trend amongst those lines that are on that higher echelon where the weight of the money early is for the minus these days. The total points are expected to go overs at the moment, 50.5 out to 51.5, already into $1.80 on the overs. So expecting a lot of points and again, expecting them to be mainly Manly. But this is a big game for the Tigers. The Tigers have got an easy draw after they get through this game. So they want to sort of be competitive here to give themselves a chance to push into that eight where a lot of the sides above them are not wanting to win at the moment. So it's a pretty key game.
We're just touching that on that with the West Tigers. If we look at their, including this game, their last seven, two of those seven are against Manly and Penrith. So, Jimmy, coming back to your accountancy view, you'd probably budget that those two are losses. Outside of that, they have the Warriors, the Bulldogs, the Cowboys, the Sharks, and the Bulldogs to finish with. Now, you'd probably budget that they can win four, if not five of those, if they perform anything like we saw in some of that game last week, if not the second half. So they're a little sniff of a decent run home. I think this doco occurring on a Monday night probably helps them build a little bit of momentum, because it's airing at the right time when they can dare to challenge and maybe pick up a few wins. Meeting the Eagles this week is not ideal. 5:30 Saturday afternoon, dry track at Suncorp, what could go wrong here? You've got Turbo turning up, you've got those two wingers, DC in the middle, four and just pointing them around the park. Eagles win. I think they covered a line. The question mark is which Tigers turn up. I think their form last weekend's inflated by a disgraceful second half from the Broncos, letting six tries through at will. But I do expect that the Tigers have a decent crack here. Tristan, I thought when you were just pumping in the numbers here that you might have made an error on that total point when you put the five in instead of the six. I think it's got points all over it. There's just attack, lots of tries, dry track. Eagles the win, and I do think there's a lot of points.
It's got 40 to 18 written all over it, hasn't it? 40 to 20. Yeah, with a late try to the West Tigers, that's in my mind, that's what I can see.
Well, I did my numbers three times and I kept coming up somewhere between 62 to 66.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that, Tristan. Appreciate it. second game of the doubleheader, it's the Panthers up against the Broncos. Jerome Luai, he is back. So that means there's a bit of a shuffle in the back line. Back to the centres goes Matty Burton, Brent Naden out into the reserves. Tyrone May is still there in the seven jersey. Nathan Cleary next week. They play the Melbourne Storm. Was going to be in Melbourne. That will be up on the Sunshine Coast. So that might change things a little bit. And Appy Korosau will get the start. He is taking over from Mitch Kenny there. James Fisher-Harris named in this one, but he will probably be out after that. Interesting to see whether there's an issue there with Viliami kickout too after an incident in that game against the Warriors. Tom Flegler, Jordan Rickey, they've been named in the starting side. They're against the Tigers. They're coming from the bench. Reece Kennedy and TC Rabadi go back to the bench. Xavier Coates has been given a rest. And Jesse Arthurs drops to the reserves list. And Corey Pakes is the new man on the bench. I was underwhelmed by the Panthers' last game, Tristan.
Yeah, well, as we touched on, the Warriors were gutsy, but that probably is also reflective of the Panthers' performance as well. I think in previous weeks, they would have really put an undermanned team like the Warriors to the sword, and they didn't get it done. Now, obviously, we've got Jerome Luai back into this side, which is going to strengthen them. We've got Cleary not far away, but yeah, the market at the moment sees the Panthers at $1.13, Brisbane $6.25, and the Lions 19.5. It's already moved very heavily in the Panthers' way. It's gone from 16.5 out to 19.5. Total points 51.5. Both of the minus and the overs are $1.85 at the moment. It's a tricky game, this one, because again, we've touched on it nearly every week. The Broncos, when they're in the fight, they show glimpses of their form. And as soon as that little bit of adversity goes against them, the floodgates open. And we saw that again against the Tigers. They had a lead at halftime. They scored right on the bell of that halftime whistle. And you think, well, they're a good chance to hold on here at home. And then three or four tries in the matter of 5 minutes and the game just gets blown out. And are the Panthers capable of doing that? Well, if the Tigers are, then Penrith definitely have that capability, but they haven't demonstrated the ability to rack up points without Nathan Cleary. So this is a tricky game here. If Brisbane can stay in the fight for a long period of time, that they can potentially keep it tight. But yeah, 19.5, it's a game that I don't really have a firm opinion on.
Yeah, it's a tricky matchup. I mean, I think the key is Luai back, and that moves our man Burton back to the left. I'm sure at some stage over the weekend I'll find a way to put him into an anytime try scoring option. The Panthers, I do think, I think the line's about right. I actually have it a touch higher than 19.5 because I think those changes are key. And the second half defensive efforts from the Broncos is just obviously horrible. You know, leaking all of those tries, 32-point second half last week, and they don't make a change to the team. Well, I guess there's probably not many more options now for them to make changes with, but I don't know that you keep going with what they are. I will say, and I'll touch on the Bulldogs in a moment, I can't believe the Broncos are still $8 to get the spoon. There's a lot more to play out in that little race in the coming weeks. Panthers win. I think they probably roll up some points here. I think the line at about 20 is about right. Matt Burton scoring any time try would be my play.
I really remember we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. I want to see Burton playing right half and Luai at left. I know he's a left-sided player, but he'll have to do everything for the Bulldogs when he gets here, so he might as well get used to that. I don't think Tyro May, as we've discussed previously, is the option at halfback. And I want to ask you guys this one. It's $1 million a year for 10 years for Payne Haas. And as soon as that gets out there, people start saying, oh, yeah, but I watched the game on the weekend and he didn't really stand out that much for me. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're watching different games because he played 64 minutes. He ran 15 times for 148 metres. He had a line break assist. He had a try assist. He had 42 tackles with one miss. And I'm thinking, what else do you want the kid to do? Do you pay $10 million over 10 years, Jen?
To me, it depends on the personality of the bloke. I don't know him well enough to be able to comment on that. But it's almost like you're saying, well, this is a bloke we're going to pin our wagon to. We need some leadership around this club. We need someone to commit to this, and we need someone to be able to bring players with him to come to the Broncos to return to where we used to be in years gone by. You've got Adam Reynolds obviously coming. So to me, I think he's a standout forward. The 10 years, it's difficult to pay that for forwards because, you know, they can get injured, you know, at all times. We see Tal Malala, he looked like he was the most bulletproof person in that sort of regard, and he's copped a few injuries this year, and we haven't seen the Cowboys perform at the level I suppose all of their fans would have hoped this year in particular. So it's a tricky one, but yeah, the way he's played over the last couple of weeks in a side that's well up against it nearly week in, week out, I think has been an absolute credit to him, and hopefully he can get some reinforcements over the next couple of weeks to next couple of years to be able to justify that price tag.
I mentioned a couple of months ago that the Broncos had an internal problem that Haas had become aware, as his manager had, that he was getting paid $400 a year, and guys like Lodge and Pangai Jr. and a few other guys were getting paid $9 and a million and God knows what. And he was doing all of their work every week as well as his own. So clearly there was a balance up there. Would I sign him for 10 years? Absolutely not. Would I sign into a long-term deal? Yes. Would I pay him what he's worth? Yes. 10 years is not right for good quality forwards on big coin. That will prove to be the case at the Cowboys. I'm sure it'll probably come back to bite the Broncos here, because you do 10 million at 10-year, $1 million deals for guys like the Pongers and the Munsters and the Pappenhausers and the Nico Hines, who are your game breakers, not necessarily the guys who do the grunt work in the middle.
I guess as well, just to touch on that, Jared, in probably 2 or 3 years ago, you could factor in some sort of increase in the salary cap, and there was a consistent trajectory upwards of that. I suppose there has to be some uncertainty over that in light of what we've seen in the last couple of years with the COVID interrupted season. Are we going to be able to justify the salary increases in 3, 4, 5 years' time? I don't know the answer to that, but that's also probably something that is different to maybe those decisions that were made 5 years ago in that light too.
That's a very good point, Tristan. So what I would do is say, okay, in round figures, let's say our salary cap is $10 million. We're going to pay you 10% of our salary cap. And then you take that uncertainty out.
I think 10% for a front rower for mine is too much.
I'm prepared to do it. But going back to the point you made, Tristan, I'd have to know the person better. You know, pick the person. And if that marries up, then away you go. Doubleheader on Sunday. Seabus Super Stadium is the venue. And I tell you what, it's got the Dragons side almost unrecognisable from the Dragons side from last week playing a game against the Titans. Stay with me on this one. Corey Norman out with suspension. Jaden Sullivan takes over the 5-8 duties. I can hear many Dragons fans celebrating over that news. Matt Duffy, Tyrell Fuimaono and Cade Ellis are returning. But Dusty's the only one of those in the starting lineup. Tyrell Sloan back to the bench. Fuimaono on the interchange. Ben Hunt has retained his spot in the back line. This is a major reshuffle here. So, of course, Norman out. Katie Ramsey, Jared Beal move from the wing to centre. Jack Bird goes to the second row. Matthew Feagai returns from injury. So he comes in. Braden Williami drops out of the squad. Jack DeBellin goes to the interchange. Josh Kerr from the second row into the front row position. Josh Maguire moves into the lock position. Jackson Ford out of the squad. And Adam Clune, the 18th man from last week, takes Billy Burns' spot on the bench. For the Titans, Philip Sammy, Jamal Fogarty and Aaron Clark all out for injuries suffered in that match against Parramatta. Toby Sexton has been named to make his debut, so we wish him all the best with that. Greg Marzu comes back into that wing position, and Mitch Rain comes in for Aaron Clark. Mo Fatuaka back to the starting side. Jamin Jolliffe returning to the interchange. I reckon, Tristan, there are seriously many Dragons fans who think they would be a stronger side with Jaden Sullivan in and Corey Norman out.
Yeah, and the betting has indicated that. So the line opened at 6.5 and it's shortened into 5.5. Obviously, that 6 is such a key number in rugby league. So it's $2.45 the Dragons, $1.57 the Titans, 5.5 as I just touched on, 50.5 the total points, a little bit short of the overs. This is such a massive game for St. George. Like, this is, in my view, their biggest game of the year. They obviously are going to be without troops for the next 3 weeks. They've got a very, very, very hard run home. They're obviously sitting in the 8 at the moment, 7th. But, you know, there's a chance that they don't win any or many games on the way in with the way their draw is structured. So this is as big a game as you like for them. And they're still $2.45 underdogs. I think that, to me, seems like a big price. I liked what they put up against the Seagulls in the first half. I thought the Titans were very ordinary. I know that this is an away game at Seabus, but I think the market should be a lot closer than this. And the 245 plus 5.5, particularly with Jaden Sullivan coming into this side, I think Ben Hunt will lead him around, because we've got a couple of young halves starting here, and it's going to be interesting to see how they both fare.
I agree with you, Tristan. I wonder if that named side for the Dragons doesn't see Adam Clune start at 6 and then Sullivan come on. I hope they start with Sullivan. I hope he gets a crack at a full 80 minutes. I like the changes that the Dragons have made this week. I think they fly under the radar in the named team, in that it is stronger than where they were last week. And not only with Sullivan there, they've got Duffy back. They've got a couple of other key forwards back. It's certainly much stronger than they've been. I'm sure they probably were going into last week under expectation of a difficult game and losing, whereas this week I think that they're up and about and see themselves as a big chance of winning. And I agree also with Tristan that winning here is key to then what they might do in their run home in the coming weeks. I mean, it belies belief of where their recent form has been, that they're still sitting where they are at 7th on the table. I just can't catch the Titans. I got them completely wrong last week. I thought they had everything to play for. They had a at-home preparation to play at home. They had everybody backing up into an Eels side that had a couple of key outs, and they just did not want to put in. They did have a key sin bin against them in the first half, but they didn't roll their sleeves up. And if there was one thing they needed to get in this week, to check at training, was a cardiologist, because I just don't think they had much of that last week. I'm tipping the Titans because they're at home. I hate the game, don't want to touch it. And I think the Dragons are a huge chance of an upset win.
Yeah, it's interesting that, Jack DeBellin is a chance to be starting this game, and you go with Jack Bird in the second row, and you've got Cody Ramsey in the centres, Jared Beale. You know, I thought that's a really interesting move from Coach Griffin. You know, I know DeBellin's probably a middle forward more than anything, but I think it's a strong looking forward pack. But I think you've weakened your centre position greatly by doing that. But interesting to see how that one plays out. It's a too tricky for me, that one. Final game of round 19, Bulldogs versus the Sharks. This is the second of the double headers there. We've got some interesting team selections here. Jeremy Marshall-King back from suspension. That is a good thing for this Bulldogs side. Tione Katoa back to the extended bench. Ava Siumanipanai into the starting position at the front row. Luke Thompson's been really good for them. Goes back to lock. Josh Jackson in that second row. Luke Dury drops to the reserve. Joe Stimson, new face on the bench. Aiden Tolman will be very disappointed. He's accepted the one-match suspension. Doesn't get to play against his old team in this one. Toby Rudolph up to the front row to replace Tolman. Jack Williams on the wrap-on. He comes in the jersey 13. And Royce Hunt comes in, and he's had a long injury layoff. So I'm surprised, Tristan, that Lachlan Lewis has been named there. I'll be very fascinated. How out of favour are you if you're Kyle Flanagan, if you can't get a start after that?
Yeah, well, as Jared touched on, that was just a brain snap of epic proportions, and they were right in that game, and that's got to be the most disappointing thing. It's different. It doesn't justify it, but it's different if you're down 30-0 or you're frustrated on the back of a terrible season. That was their best chance to knock off a top side, and someone goes out and does that. Does that mean he turns up and he has a blinder on the weekend? I don't know, but I've been impressed with the Bulldogs in every game other than when Jimmy declared them, and it's $3.80 the Bulldogs, $1.28 the Sharks, and the Lions are flat 12. It's been in from 12.5. So I'm surprised it's that wide. I thought Cronulla were very poor there against the Raiders on the weekend. The Raiders appear to be building some form, but I'm still not convinced. I thought it was an ordinary game. I think they've been so up and down. And for them to be 12-point favourites, don't forget the Bulldogs put in a big effort against them last time these two teams played as well. So 49.5, I'm very confident on the plus. I think it starts shorter. I think the Bulldogs are building to something next year, and I think they're starting to build that right sort of trajectory. At the right end of the year, they seem to be having a dig week in, week out, which is all you want from a team that's in the bottom half of that eight.
Jimmy, I hope you're listening up. There might be an angle here that we can have a little talk as we go on, because I think the Bulldogs are a great upset chance here. I think they're the best $3.80 bet I've seen so far this season. I think they can upset. I certainly think the 12.5 is way too big. I'm single figures at least. And you just go back through that form, as Tristan touched on. You know, they were so close to the Rabbits last week. The week before, they were 16-all with the Roosters with only less than, I think, 8 minutes to play. Yes, when they had all of those players out, they got absolutely touched up by the Eagles. The week before, they were neck and neck with the Parramatta early into the second half and had a couple of very questionable sin bin and penalty decisions against them. The week before that, they actually beat the Dragons 28-6. Their first win of the season was against the Sharks. I just don't know where the Sharks have gone in recent weeks. I'm just not sure that without Moylan, without Graham, they're lacking that key leadership. I think Johnson's been off. I'm not sure that Trindle is actually working at six, and a few of their forwards, just for mine, especially off the bench, have just not been aiming up. I agree with Tristan also. They come through a couple of weak games. This is at a neutral venue. I think the Bulldogs are much, much better when they get Marshall King back. He is a very good player. I think the Bulldogs are my upset for the week and possibly the upset for the year. I think the plus 12.5 was very generous. I'm all over that, and I'm tipping the Bulldogs to win.
Jeremy Marshall King changes that side with due respect to Sione Katoa. He just doesn't offer anything out of that dummy half position and doesn't have the strength elsewhere in his game to make up for that. So Marshall King, a key in. I think Luke Thompson's form has been excellent. I really do. And this kid, Aaron Schopp, in the centres, I tell you what, they're now using him. He's in his about his sixth or seventh NRL game. They now use him to get out of trouble. So he's a very strong ball carrier. And so he's been playing really well for them. Surely we get a response from Sean Johnson after the wide criticism that he's faced over the course of the last week in the back end of that game against the Canberra Raiders. I thought that would be the case. I'm moving Connor Tracy to 5'8". Braden Trindle, I'm pushing him back to the bench, and I'm finding a different centre to fill the void for me there, because I think he's going to offer more than what Braden Trindle is offering to the team. Geez, I tell you what, I suppose I'm with you, right? The plus 12. I don't want to go on the Bulldogs again, because the last time I did, as you quite rightly mentioned, it was their worst performance in 5 weeks. So you just got me all nervous here now, boys.
Well, the really good thing for you, Jimmy, is that we're all in agreement, so you can just ride the wave.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm with them. I'm with them.
We might have to turn this into a poker table and turn the big blind around so we can get a different ordering. I reckon Jimmy's just trying to salvage a bit of pride over the last couple of weeks and battening down the hatches. Am I on the money there?
It's been a very tough time in lockdown here in Sydney.
The key thing is, Tristan, if you're batting down the hatches at minus two, you're not going anywhere.
I prefer to round up to zero, Jared. But anyway, that's just me. Righto, you blokes. Jared, you better give us our tips for the weekend, please.
I think most of them are pretty straightforward, especially the first six, Jimmy. The Eels, the Roosters, the Storm, the Rabbits, the Eagles, the Panthers, they're all clear favourites. I didn't know what to do. Well, I gave the Dragons a chance. I'm tipping the Titans, and I do think the Bulldogs can upset and win in the last game. I thought the two best plays for the weekend were the Storm that covered the line, took the 25.5 with Tristan at $1.90. I'd still be taking anything wherever the market is right now. And the anytime try scorers for the weekend, Nicho Hynes for the Storm, our mate Turbo Tom for the Eagles, all up $2.85. And somewhere over the weekend, you could probably throw Matty Burton in there as another option.
I tell you what, the ladies of the Shire are very excited that Nicho Hynes is playing for the Sharks next year after they're watching his games over the course of the weekend. I've never seen Mrs. Smith so interested in the rugby league. But anyway, that's a very separate issue there. Can I just throw a bet option at you, gentlemen? And I haven't loaded it up yet at the Top Sport website. But if we say that there's a gap between the six sides, why wouldn't we just roll that all up in? Eels into Roosters, into Storm, into Rabbits, into Eagles, into Panthers.
Now, let me come up with the... So Eels into Roosters, into Storm, into Souths, into Manly, and into the Panthers. That all up goes to $2.41. So, yeah, you'd be surprised if any of those get over. Why don't we throw a Jimmy special on that for the charity account, which, as we say, is up to $3,883. It's ticking on very nicely. So we'll put that on as well, because I think we're all in agreement there that it would be very difficult to see any of those top six getting rolled. And I think there's a good chance that one of those two roughies down the bottom might get the result for anyone wanting to go a little bit wide in the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think that's a great betting option, Jimmy. The more you put on, the more you get back.
Responsibly, of course.
Yeah, at what point do we say, yeah, we're responsibly, but anyway. Hey, great job, boys. Well done. Looking forward to the run into the finals. It starts this weekend as well with round 19. Stay safe and enjoy your footy.
I'm going to have to download this Uber Eats app if we've had no lunch bets for 2 weeks. It's very disappointing. So
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what reception's like. Very difficult down in the Shire. Very difficult.
See you guys.
NRL Market Watch is proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. TopSport is the home of the widest and most competitive range of NRL markets, including the new same-game multi. Gamble responsibly.